Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 3. What's the first rule about Fight Club? You get to talk about Fight Club. Deuteronomy chapter 3 has more of the same. Fighting. Not your MMA kind of fighting, but your average run-of-the-mill, go-whoop-on-that-king-now kind of fighting. Moses recounts in verse 1, "Next we turned and went along the road towards Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei." Moses, he might have been just a little worried after seeing what you did to King Sihon when you passed through his land. In an attempt to create a roadblock, saying, "You shall not pass," Og, king of Bashan, gathered his troops, and the Israelites rinsed and repeated what they'd done to King Sihon. Left no survivors, took his cities, but this time, there's a little difference. They carried the plunder and livestock with them as they move forward, a pattern which will grow worse every time they take a place. In fact, each time that they move forward, a pattern begins to emerge that eventually leads to them taking silver and gold, something they were forbidden to do, because mainly the people's idols were made out of silver and gold. Here's a little fun factoid. Og, king of Bashan, had a legendary bed, but not because he was a player. He was the last of the Rephaites, which is a genetic lineage of giants. Recently, the skeleton of 7-foot-tall females were found east of the Jordan, this region, by archaeologists. Now, you might think that the whole talk of giants is fairy tale stuff, and so did critics of the Bible until researchers discovered an iron sarcophagi that were fortified with iron, with the inscription, "The mighty Og will take revenge on any who violated his tombs." It may be that this is referring to a coffin, and that the word bed was used for a final resting place that Og had made for himself. Verse 11 tells us, "It is still in Rabbah of the Ammonites," meaning it was probably on display and being used as an object of worship, as Og, as we know from archaeologists, was seen as having power over the dead. He was a good one to beat. He becomes a larger-than-life figure, pun intended, and is celebrated in Phoenician literature as a type of God-man. But he was no match for the one who would become the God-man. This battle would have solidified the thinking in the Israelites' mind that Yahweh was able to take anyone on, including men with supposed superhuman superpowers. Verse 8 tells us that all of this was done on the east side of the Jordan, which is why when the people of Israel settle, some of the Israelites inhabit both sides of the Jordan River. It runs through the nation rather than being a natural border. A river runs through it. Get it? Verse 12 shows Moses carving up the land east of the Jordan between the Reubenites and the Gadites, two of the tribes of Israel and the half-tribe Manasseh. Moses commands the men to leave the women and children of these three tribes on the east side of the Jordan, but to take themselves and their weapons with them, to help their brothers take the remaining part of the promised land. In verse 18, Moses says, "I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it. But all your able-bodied men armed for battle must cross over ahead of all the other Israelites. However, your wives, your children, and your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your fellow Israelites as he has to you. And they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God has given them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you." And finally, in verses 21 through 29, we read of someone who won't be crossing over, Moses. Moses recounts how he begged God in verses 23 and 25, pleading to see the good land. Moses himself was forbidden to enter because of his own disobedience when the people asked him to provide water for them in the wilderness. Moses was going through a rough time, having just lost his brother and sister. And we're told he struck the rock in anger when God actually told him to speak to it, and in doing so misrepresented God himself. As God's mouthpiece, this was a big deal. It was kind of like, "Oh, you want water? Oh, I'll give you water. Here! Whack, whack, whack." And the Bible identifies it as a sin of pride. Why pride? Because Moses allowed his own emotions and feelings to supersede and override God's feelings and will. I don't know about you, but that's definitely something that I'm pretty familiar with. I think most of us are. Moses probably asked God to forgive him every single day, but Moses says, "The Lord was angry and wouldn't listen to me on this." Verse 26, and he instructs Moses to stop focusing on it and focus instead on preparing Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. It may be that God being angry with him and not listening was not the real reason he wasn't allowed to enter, but just Moses' interpretation of the situation. You see, he couldn't know what Paul would later point out regarding Moses not leading the people into the promised land. Paul sees the bigger picture. Paul points out that Moses, as the lawgiver, represents the law itself and says that the law could never truly bring us into the promises of God. This whole book is about God giving a law that man is unable and unwilling to keep. But Joshua, Joshua can bring us there. And of course, by now you've probably figured out that the name Joshua, or Yeshua in the Hebrew, is the true name of Jesus. Jesus being the Greek version of his name when the New Testament became translated into the Greek language. Joshua, or Yeshua, Jesus alone, can lead his people into the fulfillment of God's promises, because where we fail to keep the law, he does not. Well, that's quite a huge thought to hang your hat on at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 3. Read the chapter for yourself, and as you do, thank God that God himself sent Jesus, Joshua, to lead us into all of his promises.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.